And so last week, for those of you who are with us, we engaged in the burning bowl ritual, where we literally gave to the fire anything that we felt we needed to release. Attitudes, old beliefs, old self-images, attachments, anything that was blocking us from our greater good. Because we said when we're blocked from our greater good, we block ourselves from God. And during our time of meditation, we took into our consciousness the idea of what our lives would be like having released what we decided to release. How would our thoughts and our actions and our relationships with one another differ? And today we're going to do another ritual in unity, which is called the White Stone Ceremony. Let me just get a feeling. Raise your hand if you've ever done a White Stone Ceremony. Okay, just a few. We did it in a Lessons in Truth class a year or so ago, so some of you engaged in that one. And this is a ritual that is engaged to allow us to explore our new freedom, to really ask ourselves and God, what am I here to be? What am I called to be this coming year? And as I release old unproductive thoughts and ideas like we did last week, what fills the space? Because we know nature doesn't like a vacuum, right? Something fills the space. And we're going to ask ourselves today, or more appropriately, we're going to ask God today, what is my new name? What is my identity for the forthcoming year? And this all really is based on a verse in Revelation 2:17. And the verse is, "To anyone who has an ear to listen, listen to what Spirit is saying. To everyone who conquers, I will give you some of the hidden manna, and I will give you a white stone. And on the white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it." Now, before we really look at the meaning of this particular verse, it's really important to put the entire book of Revelation in context. Full of obscure, frightening imagery, bizarre creatures and events, I really do not recommend it for nighttime reading. I mean, we are talking about rivers of blood, plagues of locusts, a giant red dragon, a beast with seven heads, just to name a few. And thank God, Revelation is not about literal events. It's not about a historic record or even apocalyptic prediction. The Greek word from the word revelation means unveiling. So it's actually an allegory of the spiritual path and the ongoing struggle between good and evil, or between good and error. Metaphysically, the various events in Revelation, as bizarre as they can seem, represent states of consciousness. The major theme in it is about our awakening to our own indwelling Christ. And this particular passage refers to a couple of actions and three promises. And the first action is one that both of our first hymns address this morning, and that is the action of listening. The first line says, "To anyone who has an ear." And that phrase is not about our physical ears. It symbolizes the ear of the soul within each one of us. This is the ear that, as we sang a few minutes ago, hears that still small voice that whispers within. And of course, we develop this inner listening quality by getting out of our heads, getting out of our intellect, dropping into our heart space, our Christ center, and going into prayer and meditation. Prayer and meditation are practices that help us quiet our busy minds, turn away from the loud, loud world, and listen to the divine voice of wisdom within. And when we listen, we open up deep intuitive knowing. And the second tool is a tool of surrender. The passage that reads, "To everyone who conquers," is not about conquering mythical beasts. It's not about conquering foreign invaders or distant lands. It is not an outer war at all, but it's an inner one that requires us to surrender to Spirit, to be in the world, but not of the world. And the paradox, I know as human beings, we sometimes don't like that word surrender, do we? Seems like we're giving up our power, but the paradox is just the opposite. When we are able to surrender our personal will to divine will, there is victory. It is the birthing of our original essential self, just as Jesus taught and demonstrated so many times. It is an inner surrender and an inner victory of letting go and letting God be God in us and through us. And in this passage, there are also three promises to those who accomplish this spiritual victory. And the first promise is hidden manna. Now, we know manna is food. And remember, in the days, in the Old Testament, in the days of the wandering in the wilderness with Moses, the Hebrew people who had escaped from slavery in Egypt received manna from God each day. And the interesting thing is, they did not have to show up to work to receive this manna. They didn't have to do anything except just be in that receptive state. And manna is a symbol of our always available divine supply and protection. But notice that the verse doesn't just say manna, it says hidden manna not visible to the outer world. When we are in the wilderness of our spiritual seeking, we receive this hidden manna. When we come to realize the power of God through our own indwelling Christ, we are given the peace that passes all human understanding, along with an entirely new source of nourishment and energy. The hidden manna, derived from the higher levels of our own being within us, nourishes our whole self, body, soul, and spirit. Jesus told his disciples in John 4:32, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." This inner or spiritual food is the understanding of truth upon which we build and develop our true Christ self. And the second promise is, "I will give you a white stone, and on that white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it." The white stone, and you're all going to get your own white stone in just a few minutes, but the white stone has an interesting history. In Jesus' day, when someone was released from prison, on the day of their release, they were given a white stone, and the white stone symbolized their new freedom. Released prisoners actually carried their white stones around with them every place they went as proof for everyone to see that they had completed their obligations, that they were free, their slates were clean, and they were back into society. And each of us really comes from our own type of bondage, and I guess we might call it a bondage of past nonsense, our own self-inflicted ideas about limitation on spirit or on ourselves. Error thinking, really, that imprisons us. And the white stone represents release from bondage, a sense of freedom, and a sense of worthiness. It's a reminder that every single one of us is beloved of God, one with the divine, free and unlimited. And the third and last promise is, "And I will give you a new name." Now, in the Bible, we read many, many times about name changes. To the ancient Hebrews, a name was a very sacred thing. Every time a child was born, parents would choose the name based on whatever essence they saw in the baby. And the many name changes throughout the Bible signify a spiritually significant change in character. In Isaiah 62:2, we read, "Thou shalt be called a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name." And one really striking and well-known example is that of Saul, who becomes Paul. The word Saul means personal will. And after Saul was struck blind and brought to his knees on the road to Damascus, he went from persecuting the Christians to spreading the word, being a primary advocate of Christianity. And eventually he became known as Paul, and Paul means enlightened will. Another dramatic example that we all know is when Jesus changes Simon's name, saying, "From now on I shall call you Peter." Peter in Greek meant rock, a symbol of unyielding faith. And we know that Peter's faith did vacillate sometimes, didn't it? I mean, more than once. But you know what? Ours can too. But the important thing is that Peter recognized, and he was the first disciple to do so, he looked at Jesus and he said, "You are the Christ." And that's the kind of faith that we need to take on. And from the Old Testament, Abram, whose name meant exalted father, as he grows in spiritual awareness, he becomes Abraham, meaning father and founder of the multitude. Likewise, Abraham's wife, Sarai, who, and I can't imagine anybody naming a baby this, but are you ready for this? Her original name meant bitter and contentious woman. However, as she increases in spiritual awareness, her name becomes Sarah. And Sarah means noble woman. So biblical name changes always signify coming up to higher consciousness, to the freedom of spiritual awareness, to the understanding of our spiritual purpose. And in the words of Bible scholar Ed Townley, we need to know two important things as we embark upon the challenges of our spiritual purpose. First, the presence and power of God will sustain us and nourish us, just as it nourished the Israelites in their collective wilderness experience. And second, no matter how dark the shadows may seem, or how far we seem to have wandered from our spiritual path, we are always closely and intimately linked to our spiritual source. That is the meaning of the white stone with the secret name. It is like a spiritual identity card affirming our innate oneness with God. It may not be apparent to others, but we can be sure of that oneness always. And the new name that you are going to receive today from Spirit to be written on a white stone is about no less. I'm going to ask the chaplains now if they would give out the little packages. And for the moment, I'd like to ask you, when you receive your package, you may take out the white stone and take out the little card that goes with it. But I'd like you to wait a few minutes, or quite a few minutes, before you write your new name, because I'd like us to go into meditation and do that as in a meditative state. So chaplains are passing them out. You need to make sure you get one with a marker in it. And when you leave today, you can take, of course, you'll take your white stone with you, and you certainly may take the little card with you. I would appreciate leaving the markers. So we'll have one of the chaplains stand at the back of the sanctuary and take the markers. So, okay, well, they're still being passed out, but I'll just tell you a little bit about it. Your white stone actually comes directly from Jerusalem. When I did this in the class a couple years ago, I found some white rocks lying around somewhere, and my husband polished them all and, you know, made them beautiful. But these actually come from Jerusalem. And the word Jerusalem in Hebrew means the vision and foundation of peace. Isn't that perfect? It also means a constitution of harmony and abode of prosperity. So on the back of your little card, when you get it, you will see a map showing the exact location that the stone came from. It is near Hebron, between Hebron and Jerusalem. And does everybody have one now? Let's wait till everybody's ready. Okay, this whole people up in the front. Paul, do you have any more? Okay, Mary's got them. Raise your hand if you still need one. Those of you who are waiting, you can take out your stone and take out your little card and read it, and we'll be ready in just a moment. And Mary, would you mind to take a couple upstairs? Oh, she's listening. To the guys upstairs? Thank you. We're out. Bob, you're on it. All right, Bob will get two more and take to the guys. Who did not get one in the sanctuary? Okay, here. Let's see. Anybody else in the sanctuary who did not get one? All right, we need two for the guys upstairs. Okay, great. Okay, now we're ready. So, as you hold the white stone in your hand, know that the color white represents joy, victory, and purification. The stone represents a purified state of consciousness, an awakening to the inner spirit, the freedom that comes from knowing, The Father and I are one. And remember, when asked his name, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And in this higher white stone consciousness, you will receive your new name, an entirely new realization of your full potential, your true I am. And in a few moments, we will go into meditation. And as you receive the name, you will write a new name or quality about your own character, what you came here to be. Now, writing on a rock itself is symbolic because remember, we said that the rock, the stone, represents faith. And as you write on this rock, it will bring to you the faith to become what you write this day. For as the authors of this beautiful book called What Have I Come Here to Be, I want to show you this because we have copies of this in our book room. It's a beautiful book. And here's what they say in the preface. They say, we live in a world of infinite potential where every possibility exists at once until the moment we decide. You only need to tune in to what your intuitive sense tells you to connect to divine wholeness, the infinite potential within, and all things are possible. So what have you come here to be? Perhaps it's love. Maybe it's joy, peace, harmony, radiance, order, or wholeness. Other intriguing possibilities from this book, and maybe some of you would like to buy a book today and take it home and continue to explore what it is you would wish to be, are abundant, fulfilled, balanced, fearless, and content. I'll just show you for a minute. I guess I need my visuals today, but I'll just pick one out here. This page says, I came here to be wonder-filled. And every page has a beautiful, beautiful picture. The photography is amazing in it. And then there's a little explanation about what it would mean to be wonder-filled. There's an affirmation, and in some cases, there's an action step. So any of you who want to follow through with this, a few copies are available in our bookstore. But you don't need this book today, because today we're going to ask God, what is it that I have come here to be? And when you actually receive the answer, as I said, you will write it on your white stone. Now, here's the thing. This is about being. It's not about doing. It's not a New Year's resolution. It's not a goal. It's a quality, a state of being. Ellen Davenport recently said, I have never heard of anyone writing on his or her stone, clean out the garage. This is much more important than cleaning out the garage. This is what you have come here to be. What divine quality have you come here to express? And you are going to ask God to show you a word or a phrase that will guide you to your full potential this year. Your inspiration, your answer, could come in many different ways. It might seem to be a voice. It might just be a really strong feeling, a sudden flash of insight, a striking visual, are just a deep inner knowing. And the word you are guided to write might be a noun, it might be a verb, it might be an adjective. Perhaps you'll be called to write one of the 12 powers, among them faith, strength, wisdom, imagination, order, zeal, life, or any of the others. It is a quality that you are called to adopt in order to be the light of the world. And so now we're going to prepare for our time to go into meditation and to listen for what we are here to be. In a time of quiet and faithful expectation, ask God what word or name you should write. Be open and receptive to the word that comes to you. And when it comes, here's the thing, don't play the devil's advocate. Because guess where that activity takes place? In our heads. Don't argue, don't question, don't say, well, what does this mean? Just write the name on your stone, and its meaning will be revealed to you in God's perfect timing. So now, with your stone in your hand, we're going to go into our regular meditation. And so let's just do what we always do. Let's just affirm the presence and power of God. There is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God, the good, omnipotent, and so it is. Together, There is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God, the good, omnipotent, and so it is. And so now, with your stone held gently in your hand and your marker close by, I invite you to take a deep healing breath, breathing into that place of divine love and pure peace, the peace that passes all understanding. And as you exhale, just release any tension in your mind and body. Just let it go. And then take another deep breath, feeling yourself going deeper within. Exhale slowly and feel your body relaxing even more. And one more deep cleansing breath, holding it for a few seconds and then letting it go. And now I invite you to consciously surrender to the activity of the divine, allowing the activity of God, the Holy Spirit, into your heart and mind for the next few minutes. Open your imagination and allow wisdom to speak. Let that holy voice in you come through. In this consciousness, let's take this promise within. To everyone who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give you a white stone. And on the white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it. So through the Christ within, the I am of your being, God is giving you a new name, a name to express your divine identity. Your new name will represent yourself as an individualized expression of spirit. There is a central citadel in you that only you and God share. It is your eternal secret and the sure and certain knowledge that you are beloved and prized by spirit. Go deeply within now. Perhaps this is a new way of being, a new title, a new quality that Spirit is pressing out through you. I invite you to release your human self for a few minutes and to surrender to the divine and ask, what have I come here to be? What have I come here to be? Give yourself permission to know that you are accepting a new quality, a new name. Trust in this now moment. As Spirit gives to you in this sacred time, in this moment of truth, an insight into your divine purpose, an insight into your holy essence. Ask God for guidance in the silence. As your name becomes clear, take your marker out and write it on your stone. Do that now in the silence. And if your name has already come to you and you've already written on your stone, just remain quiet and allow yourself to ask for deeper understanding if there are any more steps for you to take to bring this about. And if you need a few more minutes, just continue to ask God. Ask and you shall receive. What is my new name? And when you have it, write it on your stone. And if nothing came to you this morning during this ceremony, just take your stone home and continue to ask. And know that when you ask, you will receive, and there will be an answer. And on the white stone, and those of you who have written a new name, just hold it in your hand for a moment, and on the white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it. And I invite you all to take your white stones home and see them as a symbol of your new beginning. See it as a symbol of who you have come here to be, of who you are becoming, and of who you are determined to become. In this sacred moment, all of us feel the presence of God and know our oneness. Know your I am-ness. Experience the divine presence loving you and supporting you now and always. Behold, the Christ of God within each one of us says, I make all things new. The white stone carries a new name, the spiritual identity, and a deeper awareness of your soul's journey in this lifetime. It is your true self, what the divine in you is calling you to be. It is a whisper to your soul that you are so much more than you have ever let come into expression. And any time you look at your white stone, realize that you have been given the gift to choose, the gift to live differently, to live a more fulfilling life, to begin again, to live from the Christ of your being, to co-create with God. And now let's all just allow deep gratitude to flow through us for this moment in the silence, for receiving our new names, knowing that along with them comes the power and the guidance to achieve all that we desire. We see it, we decree it, we feel it. We know that we are on a path to greater insights and awareness, a path to a new beginning. For Jesus said, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Accept this consciousness of ever-increasing good in your life, and I invite you to keep this white stone as a reminder of that promise. And so it is, and so we gratefully and joyously allow it to be. And we'll end our time now of prayer and meditation by prayerfully singing our Lord's Prayer.